All right. I have become all things to all people. How do you do that? How do you become all things to all people? Let's talk about that. I need you to help me out. What was Paul talking about? Denying yourself. Becoming all things to all people. How do we do that in a world that is full of personal rights? Putting aside your cultural differences. Finding common ground. We'll touch that a bit today. Didn't get it. I tried, but okay, yes. Meeting people where they are at. So, yes. Seek to understand first, not be understood. Eventually, you want to be understood at some point. Yes. Be willing to compromise. Well, am I compromising my faith? What do you think, John?
Be willing to accept people for who they are.
Yeah, I'm just playing the devil's advocate here. Yes. What? Showing compassion. Somebody want to say something? Getting out of your comfort zone. So, I mean, next Sunday, I think Steve has already started talking about this. We're trying to build a diverse congregation. No, we're trying. That's what we want to do. A diverse congregation. And that means that we have to be all things to all people. There's a lot that comes with that. You follow that? It's not, you can't just do that doing the same thing. You have to start growing in the things we're talking about. So that's one of the things we said. If I were doing this on my own initiative, I would deserve payment. But I have no choice, for God has given me the sacred trust. What then is my pay? It is the opportunity to preach the good news without charging anyone. That's why I never demand my rights when I preach the good news. Now let's get this in context. In chapter 8, he had been talking about the conflict between Jew and Gentile over food and knowledge, and how that knowledge can get in the way of one another. And he comes and ends and says, if in chapter 8 he ends by saying, if I do something and I know it'll make someone else to stumble, I will not do it. You see that? That if I know that eating this food makes another person stumble, I will not do that. Then he begins this conversation about, don't I have the right to bring a wife? Don't I have a right to be paid? Don't I have a right? He goes after all that, all the rights he has as an apostle, and he has now taken. And then he comes to this place and say, actually, I have given up all those rights so that I may reach out to you. So Paul is simply saying, even though I have all these rights to me, I give them up so that I can reach out to you. If I were doing this on my own initiative, I would deserve payment. That is what he's trying to say, that then I owe that right of payment. Then he says, but I have no choice, for God has given me a sacred trust. That he understood that for him to help other people was a sacred trust given to him by God. That even though he had all these rights, with this sacred trust, he's willing to let go of those rights and stay with the sacred trust. What then is my pay? Because I should have been given a pay from you guys. If you read the whole chapter, it is the opportunity to preach good news without charging. That I've given up the right to be paid because I want to preach the good news to you guys. Without charging anyone. That is why I never demand my rights when I preach good news. See, church, that's the question. That sometimes we're so caught up in our rights, in our comfort, in what we should do right, that we never step out and reach out to anyone. Because it's all, is this in my right? Is this in the right space? How will it look like? That is, we're very externalized in that sense. So opportunity goes away, goes past us. Why? Because it's very externalized. I think we're having a problem with a projector. It tends to project green. So it's getting, I think they need to replace some bulb, but I hope you can read all that stuff. So the point I'm trying to make, though, is are there things that you've become so much of your right that you don't take time to reach out? To say, you know what, let me put myself out here and see what happens. So he had to leave all his rights just to reach out to people. What are some of the things that stop us from, the things we consider our rights that stop us from being effective in this area? What are some of those things? That's the question. That's not rhetorical. I need some conversation going on here. Ron, is that you? Go ahead. Right to privacy. My goodness, that's a big one. It's my private life. I need some space. Sometimes that right to privacy, we don't know how to work with that. We demand of it so much. We say, I've been out of work. I just need to be on my own. Yes, you need a quiet time, but you can't use it not to be effective. My right to not feel uncomfortable. We go on the attack. Why should I feel uncomfortable? It's my right.
I've seen people insist on their rights when they're trying to come to the near the line of sin. So I can go in a club. I can be in these activities, and they're coming to the edge.
That sometimes we're jumping on our line when we're really coming to the age, wanting to limp into sin. I can go to the club, and that's my right. Well, how effective are you going to be long-term during that kind of living? It's like me insisting, I can drive the car at 150 miles an hour. It's my right. Well, the rate of me going to jail is very high with that kind of driving. Yeah, I can start a prison ministry and repent in there. That's not a good way, you know, but you can do it. Yes. And it's good. I'm not saying it's wrong to pursue career, economic status. You can do that, but not at the expense of totally losing God. Being caught up in the just making life happen to a point where we're not Christ-like. What's the point? Paul is trying to say this to us, that for us to be able to touch people's lives, we have to give up a right. You cannot do it with your, you can't come on this space of touching people with your rights. You'll start fighting. It is you who knows God. It is you who understands the principles of God. You have to come to this space with, say, you know what? What does it take to help this person? Let's face it. Let's say the guy says, I can only meet you 6 in the morning. How would that fly? I can only meet you at 10 in the night. How will that fly? We're keeping quiet, you know. I had a guy like that, and I didn't have a car then. He said, I can meet you 6. You know what time I had to leave my house? At least 4:30 to get into a bus and get there. And he never made it. It's not a problem. My job is to water, to put the seed down. God makes it grow. But it was such a good lesson for me. To get out there and see all the people running around, I was like, wow, I like this idea. So this is the stuff that we don't think about. If a guy is saying, I can only meet you a certain time, we're not willing to let go of certain rights to touch them. We don't think through about how can I get to a place where I can help this person know God. That's what he's talking about. You have to give up some rights to do that. You cannot do it in a comfort point zone. So life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? If I ask you that today, what did you do for somebody else today? Not just yourself. I know we all wake up and we're working for ourselves, got to do this for ourselves. What did you do for somebody else today? That's the question. If you can begin to ask that question on a daily basis, what did I do for somebody else? Out of love. Because I'm persuaded, I will do it out of love. Not out of legalistic, or they're going to... No, I'm not going to ask you this stuff. You got to get convicted that I want to do this out of love. I care about them. I care about this person. That's why I want to show them God. Or I want to talk to them about their personal life. Whatever it is they're trying to do for them. Help them. Maybe just visit them. Whatever that is. Even though I am a free man with no master, I have become a slave to all people to bring many to Christ. That he's free. We have that choice. We actually have that choice. Do you know that? That you have a choice to use your time the way you want. Given to you by God. You have that choice. Then it says, I have become a slave of all people to bring many to Christ. Church, let's talk about this for a moment. You know, if you want to help anyone to know God, you have to spend time with them. You have to be deliberate and say, I'm going to meet this guy, I'm going to help them know God. Does that make sense? And it says, many. Last year I explained how evangelism is the work of the Spirit. And I said, if you didn't pray about it, it's going to be very hard for you to reach out. Because if you try to go out and stand on the side of the corner and just tell people, come church to me, come to church with me, it doesn't work like that. But if you prayed about it, God will lead you to open people. Some people will talk to you and you'll have an opportunity to invite them to church. So that's what we're going to understand. But it says there are many. So you have to really be thinking, am I giving of myself in this area to reach out to many? And sometimes we're not doing that because we're looking for people who just look like us. And you're surrounded with people that don't look like you. Reach out to those people. That is what it means to build a diverse congregation. That we all go out of our way to reach out to people who don't look like us. And they will be touched because why do you talk to me? You talk to me about God? That's awesome. Then it says, when I was with the Jews, I lived like a Jew to bring the Jews to Christ. When I was with those who follow the Jewish law, I lived under the law. Even though I am not a subject to the law, I did this so I could bring to Christ those who are under the law. What do you think he's talking about? That if I want to help guys in the club, I go clubbing? What do you think he's talking about? Yes, Steve. They had a lot of restrictions, but to help them, he had to kind of sit with them and come to that narrow space and just help them, say, yeah, you got to understand this. And so you bring someone to your house, and the kind of music that is playing and the kind of movies showing on your screen can affect them and say, how can you be a Christian? All this stuff is playing around here. You got to think through that stuff. When they walked in, what was going on? What was happening? Or they get in your car and the tunes coming out can be not the best of tunes in terms of the wordings. You got to ask yourself, how am I touching this person? Yes, Steve?
I was just thinking, one of the things we don't think about is, you know, many of us will drink a beer or have wine, but someone may have an issue with that. They've been an alcoholic or their religious beliefs say, oh, you can't do that.
So, sometimes you take a beer or you take wine, but maybe you're sitting with an alcoholic. And right there they feel like, what? You're trying to talk to me about God and I'm an alcoholic and this is what you're doing? I can't sit with you. Or by persuasion and perception of how they see God, they see that, you know, anyone who does that can be right with God. So you got to think before you do that. Now, the Bible doesn't say it's wrong for you to drink, but you've got to be wise as you do these things. What else do we do that can get in the way of that? Or how can we be these things that Paul is describing? Yes. Vegetarians, vegan can get offended with eating meat. I'm not offended. You can eat all you want. I'll be with you. But that's true. Some people get offended.
I don't want to talk things, but the thing that's in the news all the time right now is politics.
Yeah.
And we express our views on what we think about politics, and it alienates.
That is something we really need to grow in. The news is flying with all kind of divisive politics. And you meet a guy, you want to reach out to them about God, and you start talking about your politics. And you don't know whether they're on the right or on the left of this equation, but you're just talking about it. And you wonder why they walk away. I say, well, if you go to church, but you think like that, well, I'm not sure I want to be going to that church. Yeah, if they're very conservative about it and they feel like I need to cover my head to pray, and that's what's going to help them, go along. So, essentially, it's being aware of who you're trying to help and getting involved. But you cannot be aware of that person if you're not developing a relationship with that person, going to their homes, inviting them in your home, or going meeting in a restaurant and talking through that. That is what we got to do better. It's summertime. Hitting the packs and having a good time at back with our children, or if you have a dog that you take out there for a walk, a great opportunity to reach out to people. Whatever you do, get out there and let God walk with you as you have a good time. Amen? I think some of you might like this one. And some of you may be upset that I put that guy up, but well, I'm not going to talk sports. I'm going to read what it says. So let me go back here. He says, being a Christian athlete doesn't mean praying for your team to win. God doesn't give an edge to those who pray over those who don't. Hard work does that. Being a Christian athlete means competing for Christ in a way in which you always give all, you give your all for Him. Win or lose, you thank Him for the ability and opportunity to play. It means giving all the glory to God, no matter the outcome, because you trust in His plan for your life. You know, for a while I used to look at him play and I thought, what is the philosophy of this guy? Then I got this stuff and I started looking at some of his courses. I said, I think I understand him now. Why he doesn't fit the typical mold of NBA. He's so talented but doesn't fit the typical mold. And you wonder, what is that? He understands something here. And what is it? We've got to give our all. It's not about the results. It's about worshiping and giving glory to God. If we only give it because we get something, then we're trading with God. God is not in the business of trading. God is in the business of being worshipped. We have to worship God, give our best to Him. Some people become disciples, some will not. That should never discourage you. Love God, have a good time doing that. We're not in the numbers business. We're in the business of worshiping God. Does that make sense? If you understand that, then you'll have fun reaching out. Some will respond, some will not come, and some will do it, but you'll have a good time. Yes. So using your talents to help people, and sometimes you don't have to charge them because everybody thinks you'll charge them. Like, I can help you. How much? No. I give you love. That's all I give. Or you owe me love. That's it. And we can walk together. Does that make sense? So, when I am with the Gentile who do not follow the Jewish law, I too live apart from that law so I can bring them to Christ. But I do not ignore the law of God. You get that point? That I do all these things, but I will not ignore the law of God. I will still be godly no matter how I'm going about it. I obey the law of Christ. When I am with those who are weak, I share their weakness. For I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone, doing everything I can do to save some. The point is that, yes, we want to reach out to people of different kinds, but we don't necessarily walk away from God. How do you do that? How do you reach out to people without living God? So you don't become like them. You're not cussing, you're not doing all this stuff, but you say, you know, why don't you do that? You can explain why you don't do that. You're trying to show them a different way. But you can do that in a very judgmental way. So you have to be careful about that. You're not judging, you're helping them see that there's a different way of living. Does that make sense? Anybody else? Yes. Yeah. So sometimes we're very black and white in our thinking. You don't believe in God? How can you? Who made the sand? And you go that direction. That's not the point. The point is helping this soul to come to Christ. Be patient and talk through it. And gradually win them over and say, listen, let's talk about that stuff. And, you know, and just gradually help them see that they really, this God. How do you live your life? What time do you sleep? What time do you wake up? So why do you play to this rhythm? Who is the creator of all that? And bring them to scriptures eventually so that they can begin to see what you're talking about. So it takes time. You have to be very patient and wise and shrewd as well. Being relatable, that's what she's talking about. That sometimes when people see us, they think you're so perfect, you're a Christian. So what you need to be able to be vulnerable about that your challenges, and then they realize you're just a human being trying to live a godly life. And they can relate to that life, and not a superhuman being that lives in the moon and comes down to walk with them and then goes back to the moon. No, they gotta realize that you got struggles just like them, but you're walking to be godly in how you're going about it. Yes. So guard your heart because you know your triggers. So you don't want to go to places that will make you sin. Be aware that, hey, I'm trying to help this person, but I don't want to put myself in a place that I'm sinning. Galatians 6. Be gentle as you do it. Yes. There we go. Having a standard, removing yourself, you're not judging. You talk to them, but you will not put yourself in a place where the gossip goes on and on and on. And then belong to these political clubs that can become in the workplace and becomes quite poisonous. So having a standard, knowing why you're doing what you're doing, and reaching out to them like that, and eventually they're going to figure out, this person is different. Why? And that's how we reach out to them, especially as we reach out to mature people. It takes longer with mature people. Younger people is much easier. So we got to work at that. So that's what it means, but he never ignored the law of God. Does that make sense? Then he says, I obey the law of Christ when I am with those who are weak. Among us, we can have weak people spiritually. And he says, I share their weakness, for I want to bring them to Christ. I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone. Sometimes when you're weak, you can get very argumentative about your position spiritually. Sometimes when you're weak, you don't want to hear any other thing other than people hearing how you feel. And yet, he says, you know what? I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common grounds with everyone, doing everything I can to save some. I think it's important, as we talk about the Save People book that we're working with, to learn the right skills there on how to have conversation on difficult things. Really have deep conversations in a way that is non-threatening, but helping the other person to come around. Does that make sense? If we do a good job, we will have a much healthier congregation moving forward. But sometimes we can be very judgmental. People are going through things and we don't even find out how you're doing. And when they say that they're going through stuff, we say, I'll pray for you, but you never talk to them again. You never even circle around and say, so how have you been since we talked? You don't show concern. I'm not talking about policing the individual, but showing concern. Not policing. Are you doing? Are you repenting? What have you not stopped? You're not serious. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm saying concern. Concern opens the door for, I really need help. How can you help me? Policing shuts people down. They start avoiding you. Does that make sense? Are we together on this one? That way, we can open up our struggles and overcome and grow in our spiritual well-being. Here's what it says. We can find common ground only by moving to higher ground. You don't go into the mucky of it. You say, what does God call us to? You go towards, what is God calling me to do in this situation? That's where you go higher. You don't go down and says, okay, let's just get angry. You think about, how do we go to a place where we can work out these things well? So if you're being angry, emotional, you're not going to the higher place. If you're being critical and putting down, you're not going to the higher place. The higher place demands that you pray for them, that you have compassion for them, that you're patient, that you're gentle, and you're careful how you instruct each other. So you want help, but you want to be very gentle and love people and help them to come around. So some of the challenges we face today, among us, we have people that are ready to get out and say, come on, let's get an evangelist right now. And some of us are like, I'm not sure that's the way to do it. Those people exist in this room. And we can get judgmental with one another. That's not the point. If you get excited going out there, go ahead and make it happen. But other people may come slower. Love them and encourage them to come along. Does that make sense? And some of us are terribly evangelistic and others are very good at just nurturing people. Let's walk together and make it happen. Let's use everybody's skills and talents. Does that make sense? I think we understand that then the body stops fighting itself and we start uniting and we start growing. But if you're busy judging one another and telling each other the best philosophy is this, the best philosophy is that, you go nowhere. We are the body of Christ. Let's stop debating on the philosophies of what needs to be done and let's just be about the business of God, and we'll come at different levels. Some of us are, you know, some of us are fast movers, some of us are heavy trucks, but we'll come around. 18 wheelers, motorbikes, we're gonna come around. Everybody's on the same journey, we're coming around. Let's get over the philosophies of 18 wheelers, not a good system, just let's make it happen. We do that. God, that's what he was talking about. I've let go of my rights. I want to help people. Sometimes we're so caught up in our rights and our ways that we don't allow the Spirit to work. If we just stopped that and said, what does God want me to do? I'll do that today. It'll be amazing. Let's dream about touching people. Let's dream about being in our neighborhoods. Let's dream about the different people you come across to. But it's not about numbers. It's about helping people to know God That's what he did well. And all kinds of people, not just people like you, across the... I mean, Gwinnett is so diverse. If you drive around, you'll be amazed. It's the most diverse place. It's like, where are all these people? There's no one... I mean, my neighborhood alone, my right, I have a Pakistani guy. My left, I have a Somali guy. I have a Ghanaian guy. I have a Trinidad and Tobago. I have an American. All kind of people. If you see the children, you're like, what is going on here? When they're going, everybody lives in that place. We got to reach out to these people. If you only wait for people that look or think like you, it's going to be a tough ride. You got to go to a higher place and reach out to them and say, how are you doing? Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. We want to get heaven. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an internal prize. So I run with a purpose. In every step, I am not just shadow boxing. Shadow boxing, you put on gloves, your coach talks to you, and he says, okay, imagine there's a guy over there. And you look at the mirror and you start punching. And he keeps shouting at you, saying, raise your elbows. Well, I did a bit of it. I think I was in grade 8 when I was doing that. So I got to learn how to box a little bit. Then my nose was bleeding a lot. And I said, you're not good for a boxer. Get out. That's how they finally figured, I'm not good for the sport. Bleed too easily. Any touch, I bleed. I say, oh, you're not good for this stuff. Because that a towel comes out each time you bleed. You know, it's bleeding. Get a towel in there. But the point is that you're shadow boxing and really you're doing it with a mirror and there's no real opponent. So you're doing it with yourself. When you have a guy sparring with you and he's doing all that stuff, he's really helping you. And he's counting it, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. So you know what is going on. He's helping you. So he talks about, says, I run with purpose. So the beauty of having a spar is that there's purpose in how you're doing that sparring and where your leg is and all that is done to help you understand a real fight when you get into a fight. So he's talking here about saying, you know, don't you realize that we're in a race? We're in a race to get to heaven. And to get to heaven with as many people as we can. Then he says, but only one person can get the prize, not to win. So run to win. So the whole idea is that we all don't just settle. Run to win. Then he talks about all athletes are disciplined in their training. It takes discipline to pray. It takes discipline to read your Bible. It takes discipline to reach out to people. If you don't plan it, you don't pray about it, it's not happening. You've got to have some discipline about it. When you get in your car, there's a discipline in how you drive that car. You don't just get in and make it happen. There's a discipline how you turn, how you do it. This is a spiritual way of thinking. You've got to get the principles down, that discipline. Then he says, in the training, they do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for internal prize. So it's about heaven. So I run with a purpose in every step. Be purposeful about how you live your life. So I ask a few questions again, and I will ask this. Why do you read your Bible? Why were you reading what you read this morning? Is it just because, you know, I need to read as a Christian, or were you trying to hear God's voice? And when you did it help you to connect to a reality that you're trying to walk towards? Or maybe you're trying to get knowledge. That's fine, but did it serve that purpose of getting knowledge? Why were you reading it this morning? I'm not asking you to ask that question so that you go back home and read nothing, so that you go back home and decide, I need to read with purpose. Amen? So when you pray today, what did you pray about? Do you say the same prayer? Acts, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication? In that order that you just run, you don't even engage the brain. It's a routine, it's set. Or do you take time to say, God, here's how I'm feeling? Do you connect your prayer to your feelings and to God, and by the time you're done, you feel a difference? Or do you pray and by the time you're done, you're more anxious? I thought you give it to God. What happened? So if you're praying purposefully, then you take time to say, I need to pray. What do I need to pray about? You need to write it down. You can pray looking at it. You can close your eyes, whatever way you're going to do it. But make sure you're purposeful about your prayer life. Then you got to be purposeful about, so who am I talking to? Why am I doing that? Now, I'm not trying to turn us into robots at church and say, my only purpose is talk to Zach. That's what I'm not talking about. I like small talk guy. I love that. Hey, how you doing? What's going on? I can do it pretty good. I enjoy that conversation too. What I'm talking about is that you got to be purposeful about, today I'm hoping I can talk to this guy about God or that person about X, Y, Z. You got to be purposeful about that and not cut out the other human conversations we normally have. Sports and whatever stuff. Small talk. You understand that. So we've got to be purposeful. If we're not like that, a year can come and go and nothing was done. And that can be true in our life. That can be true in our parenting. That can be true in our finance. That can be true in any other area of our life. So Christianity is not just a Christian thing. It's everything you're touching. It's everything you touch. Are you purposeful? We're in a theme talking about being all things to all people, and we're now trying, we're talking about diverse. There's a reason why we're talking about these topics this month going forward. We're trying to really make sure we merge and move that breed. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself may be disqualified. That's me right there. I don't want that to happen. But that's you too. This is a very dangerous place for all of us. If when you get proud, I know, I've heard it before, then you're on a slippery road. When you realize, I need help. A brother called me today from another country. We're talking and I listened to him. And after the conversation, I said, God, I need to stay humble. I felt the need to be humble because I had some stories and I said, oh my goodness, we got to go to God right now. Humility will hit you from different angles. You'll hear stories that teach you, I got to stay humble in this stuff. You'll see things that can teach you that. The question now on is, he says though, is I discipline my body like an athlete, training to do what it should. You know, if we're going to sleep at 2 and hope to have a good quiet time in the morning, it is not going to happen. If you're sleeping at 3 and hope to have a good quiet time, it's not going to happen. Now, I know some of us have insomnia and other stuff. Don't get guilty about it. Do it whenever you can. We have different ailments. Do it whenever you get to that. But many of us are not in that category. Many of us are people who should be going to bed in good time to wake up at a good time. What is a good time? I'll let you decide. I'm not telling you. Does that make sense? So he trained himself like after training to do what he should. Otherwise, I fear after preaching, I might be disqualified. So we really need to think about how we're doing this and begin to embrace that and weave that into our personal lives so that we are effective and not burning out. We got to have the great fellowship going on in church here and at home and other things, and you'll see what God does. I'd like to show a clip. All right. Anything that did resonate with you from the clip? Yeah. God must be. He is in shape to keep going. You got to talk to Mike about that. He'll take you to the mountaintop. It's totally against society. It's not wrong. Those things are not wrong. It's that if that consumes you in the wrong direction, but so you're going against society. Endurance. You need some endurance there. You got to stick with it. Yeah. Big picture. Always have the big picture. Heaven. Yes. That's true. He couldn't see. He could only see because he kept going this way. He kept going. He could only see here, but he kept going. Don't want to miss the great things that God has in store in your life. Anybody else? Yes. He was steady. He was not trying to rush. He was just steady. Get going. Let's be steady. Let's not rush to get there. Let's be steady. Run with a godly purpose, not worldly purpose. Yes. Don't give up. Stick with it. Don't give up. Yes, ma'am. Don't go back. Don't go back. Keep going forward. He didn't stop at the car. He didn't stop at the, what are those car? There are many things you would have stopped at the house. He kept going. Sometimes God blesses you and you stop. No, keep going. So you got the car, keep going. You got the house, keep going and get to the cross. That's when he stopped. Yes. Running towards God and away from the world. He kept doing that. Yes. So if you got those nice things, but you still lived as a Christian, you're a great example than if you got that stuff and you stopped. Okay. We done? We are free.